You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The Minister of Health has admitted that Aotearoa's health system is in a crisis. There are vast staff shortages, many staff raising issues with burnout, long wait times, delayed diagnoses and an increase in telehealth services. Last week, Te Whatu Ora announced voluntary redundancies for admin and advisory staff, which follows the axing of 268 roles from the organisation's commissioning team. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about how the government is addressing the crisis in the health sector while continuing to cut roles. We also talked about how the government is dealing with the current energy crisis and which shortages of power are pushing up industry prices. This includes the proposed import of liquefied natural gas. But I started off by asking him about Te Whatu Ora's voluntary redundancies. Recently, Te Whatu Ora Health New Zealand has announced voluntary redundancies for admin and advisory staff, which follows the axing of 268 roles from the organisation's commissioning team. Health workers say this is going to adversely affect those on the front line. What does the ACT Party think of this decision?
Well, Health New Zealand is currently losing $130 million a month. That's an operational overspend that they have allowed to happen because they've failed to implement their restructuring plan that they signed up to. So when Health New Zealand told the government how much money they needed to run the organisation for 2024-2025, they said that they would need $16.7 billion. That's how much the government gave them. They've since worked out, actually, they're going to be in a $1.4 billion deficit. So a government, any government, needs to have confidence that people and the organisations delivering core health services to New Zealanders are actually in control of their operation and their budget. And that's why the government has replaced the Board of Health New Zealand with a commissioner, Dr. Lester Levy, a couple of weeks ago, on 22nd of July. And that is also why Health New Zealand is currently looking at the way it runs its back office. They have increased the number of back office staff between 2018 and 2024. So this is prior to Health New Zealand standing up. But between 2018 and 2024, back office staff numbers from district health boards and then through to Health New Zealand have grown by over 2,500. So it's just not clear what all these people do, what these roles are for. And what is clear is that people waiting for a doctor's appointment are not getting the attention that they need in a timely manner. And so that needs to be the focus of Health New Zealand.
Frontline health workers say that cutting these admin roles is going to have an adverse effect on their roles, not allowing them to work as efficiently. So what is the government going to do to address this crisis that frontline health staff workers are facing?
Well, I've heard that claim. In fact, I've read what the PSA union claims is an unhinged approach to managing New Zealand's health needs. But in fact, there's no evidence that adding 2,500 bureaucrats to the back office in the last 5 years have improved health outcomes. So, you know, I would say to critics that, look, we actually need to focus on identifying the need in communities and then EDs, elective surgery, and all of the other things that the Public Health Service does, which includes providing for people who need dementia care and all kinds of other things. Work out the need, work out the resources that you need and the organisational structure to deliver that, and then you'll be able to right-size the roles and so on. If they haven't done that already, that has to be the primary focus, and that's what Dr. Lester Levy has been brought in as Health Commissioner to do. But there's a whole lot of other stuff we could do as well. In terms of health infrastructure spending, a new Dunedin hospital should have been in construction and nearly delivered by now, but the previous government delivered and didn't agree on scope. In terms of, you know, how many operating theatres and who are the customers or patients who are going to be here. Well, years have gone by and the cost of delivering that hospital has escalated significantly and it's still not under construction. So there's a whole lot of other stuff we need to do in health infrastructure, for example, and I have a delegation to look into how we can make the most of the infrastructure we've got and get better value for money for that, which don't necessarily involve building enormous new facilities and then finding out that, crikey, we don't have enough doctors and nurses to staff them. There's things we're going to need to apply technology, systems thinking, process thinking, lean thinking, agile thinking too, because it's simply not possible to spend $16.5 billion or $16.7 billion a year and not be able to provide all the services that Kiwis need. There are savings in there. We just have to be smart about how we look for them.
All right, just moving on to our next topic. Currently, Aotearoa is also facing an energy crisis where power shortages are pushing up the prices for the industry. As part of a solution to this, the government is importing liquefied natural gas, which, according to the government, is better than coal because it creates less emissions. However, energy experts say that by the time gas is extracted, cooled, stored, and shipped in the form of liquefied natural gas, any climate benefits over coal would have disappeared. So how do you respond to this?
Well, firstly, the government hasn't yet agreed to importing liquefied natural gas. It's a proposal that the government the government's asked for a feasibility analysis on it. But what the government has done is it said we will act with urgency to reverse the ban on local offshore oil and gas exploration. We're going to pass legislation to make sure that it's legal again to go and drill for oil by the end of 2024. We're going to remove regulatory barriers to the construction of those critically needed facilities to import LNG, liquefied natural gas. So the government's not proposing to buy the gas or to build the gas terminal, but we're going to make it possible to very, very quickly get on with the construction of that. We're also going to do some other things to ease the energy crisis. At the moment, electricity lines companies are very limited as to what generation they can build and then supply electricity into the grid. There's supposed to be a strict separation between the lines companies just owning lines and the big generators generating the electricity, and never the twain shall meet. But it's become clear that in large parts of New Zealand, what we call electricity distribution companies or lines companies, they have a lot of capacity to build small-scale generation, whether it's solar, whether it's fast-start natural gas, all kinds of things, small hydro that they can connect into their local networks that don't require a transmission connection. So we're going to make it easier for them to do that. And we're going to make sure the big generators that have hydro dams can access some of what's called the hydro contingency. There is a lot of water stored in lakes further up catchments that is not usually drawn down for hydroelectricity. We're going to need to make sure we've got the water there to keep generating electricity, not just this year, but through next year as well, which potentially could be dry.
Just moving on to my final question. There's been a lot of fingers pointed when establishing who caused this energy crisis. The current government says it was Labor when they banned oil and gas exploration. But it has been said that part of the problem was National privatising Contact Energy and then partially privatising Genesis, Mercury and Meridian as well. What does the ACT Party think of those moves that the National Party made?
Yeah, well, certainly National did carry out a partial privatisation. It's not as far as ACT would have gone, but it was a good first start. The thing is, the part of the New Zealand infrastructure system that's actually working the best right now, believe it or not, is the energy sector. And that's because it's most of the risk in supplying customers and making sure that you have adequate supplies and you can make enough profit to pay all your expenses. Most of that risk is held by the private sector in the energy area. The problem we've got is that successive governments, and Labor certainly have played a significant role in this, have not recognised that the electricity market actually needs to be reformed at some point so that it's much easier to connect to to build generation, transmission lines, distribution lines. A lot of that comes down to RMA reform. I have the portfolio for offshore wind environmental management. So, one of the things I'm working on in my portfolio is a regime that makes it easy to understand how to comply with our environmental rules for offshore wind developers. That's just one of the things that we're doing.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Corr on continued cuts to the health sector and the government's solutions to the energy crisis.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.